Please stand, friends, as we read our gospel lesson this morning. And may we, in this difficult passage, hear with joy what the Lord has to say to us today. From Luke 23, beginning with verse 33. When they came to the place that is called the skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing, and the people stood by watching. But the leaders scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he's the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." The gospel of the Lord. Praise be to thee, O Christ. You may be seated. Well, before we gather again next Sunday, with the greens will have been hung in our place, probably in yours as well. Before we gather next Sunday, we will have celebrated a lot of incredible things. This Thursday, we'll celebrate Thanksgiving, which of course is a day set apart for us to give thanks for the many blessings that God has given us. Thanksgiving, while it's not a biblical feast, certainly is one that began out of gratitude for God's blessings. The first pilgrims celebrated their first harvest in the New World in October of 1621. Then Thanksgiving was declared a federal holiday by Abraham Lincoln as he proclaimed and called for a day of national thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. Many of us will also rush to celebrate Black Friday by making pilgrimages to offer thanks for sales at Best Buy and Walmart and Macy's. Black Friday, for the secular world, of course, is the beginning of the Christmas season, where some will no doubt be trampled and assaulted by the rush to find the best deal on Cubby the Curious Bear or the ultimate walking Buzz Lightyear. But as Christians today, we mark the last Sunday of the Christian calendar, the last Sunday of the Christian year, by celebrating Christ the King Sunday, which is so fitting to the end of the year to praise our King, Christ, because next week we will begin the Advent season where we long for the coming of the Christ child. So today is the day where we proclaim as Christians our allegiance is nothing less to the power of Christ's love, not the power of the dollar or the power of politics. Christ is King and not Black Friday. But what kind of king? I mean, that's really the question for us. What kind of king? It's easy to understand why the reading from Jeremiah is part of our lectionary reading for Christ the King Sunday, the one that Tim read, because Israel has been in dark times. Its shepherds, its leaders, its kings have abused God's power to them, and they have scattered God's people into exile either by their actions or lack thereof. So Jeremiah looks for the day when God will send new shepherds and promises a new king like David, a king who will come from the shoot of David, who will be a righteous branch, who will reign as king and deal wisely and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land, as Jeremiah says. So as Christians, we are able to see Jeremiah's expectations for this righteous king fully realized in Jesus. Jeremiah's inclusion in our readings is understandable, but if we are celebrating the glory of our King Jesus, why does the reading today focus on Jesus' last painful moments on earth in Luke's gospel? Why not have a resurrection story or a story of angels singing glory to God in the highest? Christ the King Sunday was a day instituted in 1925 by Pope Pius XI in an era of rising fascism as a marker against uncontrolled human power. So why this reading? What kind of king and leader are we celebrating? I think the world is hungry for good leaders today, don't you? But we're also hungry on how to be good leaders. Even here on our church staff, we read at least 2 books a year on leadership. We sponsor leadership trainings. We send our staff to leadership trainings. We encourage everyone to become better leaders. Leadership books and leadership training represents this burgeoning business. Amazon alone carries over 50,000 books with the word leadership in its title. We have the 7 characteristics of great leaders, the 10 best characteristics of great leaders, 5 marks of great leaders. We have leaders eat last. And those are just a few. And what we find is we look at all these characteristics of great leaders, some of them overlap with some of the characteristics. One almost always says humility, taking care of your people rather than ruling over your people, making sure that your folks, your teams are taken care of, lead with integrity and honesty. Jesus's final moments on earth tell us what it means for him to have been a great leader, but also a great king and a great shepherd, and how we, by looking at his example as a model king, what we can learn about living and engaging in the world around us. On that Good Friday, which could have appropriately been called Black Friday, there was no one rushing to buy presents to celebrate Jesus' birthday. There was no materialism hangover in the making. There was instead a nod to uncontrolled human power. The power of those who felt threatened by Jesus' message of liberation to the captives, of his message of healing the sick and the lame and the blind, of his example and his challenge to the unjust treatment of the widow and the orphan and women, and a kingdom, and his example of a kingdom unlike anything the world had ever seen and like one they were not experiencing, but a kingdom that they were all longing for, except for those in leadership. So those empowered crucified the one who threatened their power and crucified an innocent man beside 2 thieves, one on his right and one on his left. Jesus spent the majority of his ministry preaching and teaching about the kingdom of God come near in him, about this kingdom of God that people were longing for. The kingdom of God, Jesus said, is like the love generously offered when a son foolishly demands and squanders his inheritance and runs away, but is welcomed back home with open arms and a celebration because of the father's extravagant desire to forgive him and welcome him home. Jesus says the kingdom of God is like a shepherd who cares so deeply for his sheep that when one is lost, the shepherd goes out searching to the ends of the earth, high and low, until it is found. Jesus said the kingdom of God is like a wealthy man who throws this huge banquet and invites all of his friends, and when not all of them will come or when none of them will come, he invites the poor and the lame and the blind. Everyone is wanted. Everyone is searched for. Everyone is forgiven. Everyone is welcomed into God's kingdom who wants to be a part of God's kingdom. But now, on this Black Friday, Jesus is hanging on a cross. And this kingdom appears to be absolutely nowhere in sight. And yet, though Jesus' words from the cross are few, his words in death reflect the same tenderness and compassion and forgiveness and unconditional love and desire to welcome everyone into his kingdom as his actions exhibited during his life. In the midst of cruelty and taunting, Jesus offers forgiveness. If he's the chosen one, the Messiah, let him save himself. If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself. And Jesus says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Ironically, the sign above Jesus' head tauntingly reads, This is the King of the Jews. One thief joins in on the humiliating derision. Are you not the Messiah? Then why don't you save yourself and us? But the other thief recognizes something in Jesus' words of forgiveness and the way in which he has compassion for those who don't know any better that helps him see Jesus for who he really is and for what he really is. Jesus, he humbly says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He recognizes that Jesus is indeed the king of a kingdom that is not of this world. He recognizes salvation that erupts among the seemingly hopeless moment where no one is saved from suffering and death, which, as theologian Patrick Wilson says, it's in that exact moment of hopelessness when salvation breaks through in our lives. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Jesus promises the thief, today is not a 24-hour interval, but the moment when God's salvation fractures time. In the midst of his own suffering, Jesus offers words of acceptance and forgiveness that, when followed to its conclusion, brings life and hope and joy for all of humanity. Today, I will see you in paradise. Today, even in the midst of your suffering, even in the midst of your grief, even in the midst of all of our darkness, Jesus says, my kingdom is available to you right now. His acceptance, his forgiveness, his compassion, his kingdom peace is available right now, today. And the good news is that God's vindication of Jesus later through resurrection will mean God's validation of Jesus' message. Jesus is the Christ, the King, our Savior. Friday night, my husband and I were having dinner with some friends. It was sort of a pre-Thanksgiving gathering before all of our families hit town, and we decided to do the one thing with each other that we hopefully will all be doing on Thursday with our families. We answered the question and asked the question, what is it that you are most thankful for this year? What have you been most thankful for? Do y'all do that at your homes? Do you like hold hands, stand around the kitchen, or sit around the table, and everybody has to say something they're thankful for? And sometimes, you know, when we ask that question, we get what they sound like trite, but they're not trite answers. I'm so happy, thankful for my health or family or friends. And sometimes when you answer that question, people will tear up a little bit. Well, for all of us, when we ask that question, the top of our list, and we all got a little emotional, the top of our list was giving thanks for our friend who had just suffered a massive stroke. And he was alive and present with us and was experiencing this remarkable recovery. And he admitted that when time seemed the hardest, when it didn't seem like things were going to be going okay, even in that moment, he said, I just recognized God's presence with me, and I felt this peace. And so every one of us had a story of how God has been present with us in the past year. We were all thankful for those things that we definitely count as God's blessings. We recognized that they were blessings from God. We were thankful for engagements and jobs and children and the hope of grandchildren. But each person also recognized God's presence and compassion and love, even in the difficult moments. In the midst of infertility and job uncertainty and uncertain health, God's kingdom, Christ's kingdom, had broken through and was present. So today we celebrate and recognize our King and Shepherd and leader. We recognize him, but he can also be recognized, just as a thief recognized him, by his willingness to forgive even those who mock and contested his power. He can be recognized as a king who doesn't retaliate verbally even when criminals mock him. He is a king whose compassion and thoughts are extended and focused on others rather than on his own difficulties and suffering. He is a king of humility and grace, and in his example lies true power. His example exhibits real leadership and righteousness. And so while many of us today would naturally want to avoid the reality of the cross because it doesn't seem fitting to celebrate our King from a cross, yet it's from the cross that Jesus speaks and shows his deepest love for us. It is from the cross that Jesus' full humanity is on display, and thus we can feel closer to him because we are like him. It is from the cross, as Jesus draws his last breath and speaks his last words, that his deep trust in the Father and in is revealed, and his divine glory is revealed. It is from the cross where he offers his kingdom to all of us. And I think that is something that we can be truly thankful for and celebrate this week. And so my prayer for us all is that may his example be our own as we gather with friends and family to give thanks this week. Amen.